Our text this evening is Luke 20, verses 45 through 47. I am just preaching through the Gospel of Luke, if you haven't noticed. So the next place I preach, it may not be here, it probably won't. But I will be taking up the next passage, so I haven't selected this passage just for you. It's the next one that came up, but I hope it applies to you as it does to me. Luke 20, 45 through 47, listen to the Word of God. Then in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, "Beware of the scribes, who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." And thus we end the reading of God's Word. I saw a YouTube video several weeks ago. It was about cars. Why I don't drive a Subaru. I'm not especially interested in Subarus, but I had some free time and I thought, I'll give it a whirl. So the young man who did this video is actually an employee of a Subaru dealership, which made it all the more interesting. Because usually, people who are employed by a certain brand use that brand. So here he was with Subaru sign on the building behind him and his face in the front, and the caption was, "Why I don't drive a Subaru." So he went on to explain that he was young. This was one of his first jobs, if not his first full-time job. He had to be economical. He had bought this economy car, so he had to keep that car for a while, but he said he would one day drive a Subaru. So that was the exception that was allowed, because it's not in character, is it, to have Subaru on your shirt and Subaru on the sign behind you and you're not driving a Subaru. Well, guess what? I thought I would check back. And on August 9th, he posted another video, and he has ordered his Subaru. So now his actions will be in line with his professed work. He advertises Subarus, he works on Subarus, and now he will own a Subaru. And we like to be consistent, because if we're not consistent, we're guilty of hypocrisy. Or we can be. And Jesus is talking in this passage about hypocrisy. Our actions should match our words. If someone says they love you, which is said a lot these days, then you expect them to show that they love you. Jesus here speaks of the scribes. Not every scribe was a hypocrite, but apparently a lot of them were. And he mentions that. He warns his audience not to follow the scribes, not to imitate their actions, not to do as they do. "Beware of the scribes," he says in verse 46. So the message is, be real, be the real you, admit who you are, be honest. For human beings, this means admitting that we're sinners, admitting that we're not perfect, and speaking the truth, admitting we need a change. Every human being needs to have a change of heart. So this evening, beware of the scribes. First of all, who are the scribes? Secondly, the character of the scribes. And thirdly, the greater condemnation of the scribes. First of all, who are they? In verse 45, then in the hearing of all the people, Jesus spoke to his disciples. In the hearing of all the people, there were a lot of people gathered around him. In their hearing, he spoke to his disciples. In the hearing of all the people, he spoke to the smaller group of his disciples, but he spoke of someone else, the scribes. You get the setting. No doubt the scribes heard him. Okay, so who are these guys called the scribes? They were experts in the law. They were lawyers. They were students of the law. They were teachers of the law. They handed down the law to the next generation. They kept the law. They interpreted the law. They considered, as most Jewish people did in those days, the oral tradition of the Jewish people that was added to the law to be as important or more important than the written law. But they were very close to the law. They had a large influence, and this is what is so important here. They had a large influence because of their position as religious leaders and because of their knowledge. So there they were, having all this influence, these scribes. And you have influence too. Every person here has influence over other people. Even if it's just your family members, but it's not. It's more than that for everyone. But even if it were just your family, that'd be enough. Even if it were just your closest friends, that would be enough. You would still have some influence. And you would be and are, and I am, responsible for how we use this influence, for good or for evil. And the scribes were using their influence, and it was strong. Every time we encounter another human being, when we're shopping, when we're texting, when we're talking on the phone, every time we encounter another human being, there can be an influence. There can be an influence for good or for evil. Have you ever typed out a text and sent it to the wrong person? That can be embarrassing. That can be harmful. I know, I've done it. We have influence. One word from you, one look from you can affect another person. We all have this influence, this possibility. The way you drive your car has an influence on others. It can. I was driving in rush hour one evening in Baltimore, and the cars were lined up, all six lanes, and stopped, and someone jumps out of his car with a baseball bat. You can have influence by the way you drive. That was possibly an overreaction, but your attitude has an influence on other people. We go through hard times. How do you react to hard times? What do other people see in you by the way you react to hard times. That's an influence that you have, that I have. It's easy for us to fall apart when something goes wrong. It can be a very small thing that can upset us so badly that we, shall I say, exert not a good influence on others and don't set a good example. Some of you have had a stress test. And you can have, I have found out that you can have a chemical stress test, or you can have a physical stress test when you get on the treadmill. Well, what does it do? It puts stress on your heart, and you start moving your legs faster, or you start going up an incline, and your heart works harder and harder, and it beats faster and faster, and they want your heart to beat faster so that they can take readings and find out what's really going on in your heart, maybe even pictures of your heart, and know some really technical, tiny stuff that's going on in there. It's putting stress on your heart. But we have spiritual stress tests regularly. And that also tells what's going on in our heart, in our spiritual heart. So Jesus says in verse 46, beware of the scribes. The scribes were men who gave a negative example. Overall, not every single one, but overall. Don't do what they do. Do the opposite of what they do, is what Jesus was saying. In Matthew 23, 2 through 4, he said, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move a finger, will not move them with one of their fingers. Matthew 23, 2 through 4. Be careful in choosing people to admire. Be careful in choosing people to imitate. My heroes when I was a kid were athletes. You can be really disappointed when you choose to study an athlete and read a biography of your favorite athlete. But as a matter of fact, you can be disappointed when you read the biography of anyone if it's a truthful biography, because it will point out the shortcomings and sins of that human being. You would be very disappointed if you read mine, which doesn't exist, but if there were one, you'd be disappointed, because I'm a sinner too. Jesus said, don't follow them. Follow the right person. Late in the Gospel of John, Peter and John and Jesus were in the same situation together. And Peter got concerned about John. And he said to Jesus, what about this fellow here? What about John? And Jesus said, in essence, don't worry about John. So what if I have him live a long time? He said to Peter, you follow me. You follow me. We often imitate the wrong person. The one to imitate is Jesus Christ, but it's not just imitation. It's trusting him for salvation and forgiveness and following him by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't follow the scribes. Don't follow anyone else. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not the scribes. First point, who are the scribes? People you don't want to follow. Secondly, what was the character of the scribes? Their sins are named here. A description of them is given in verse 46 and part of 47. Verse 46, they desire to walk around in long robes. And along with that, we know that they also desired to have certain ornaments that would indicate their religiosity. The long robes would indicate that they are gentlemen of leisure. And they would also wear tassels on the hems of their garments, which would draw attention to them, to remind them of God's law, and would make them appear to be really religious people. Furthermore, in Matthew 23:5, Jesus said, they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments, Matthew 23:5. So their phylacteries, these little boxes, little leather boxes with scripture in them, were put on their foreheads and arms, and so they'd make them a little bit bigger for appearance's sake. This is what the scribes did. They were concerned about outward appearance, not so much about what was going on in their hearts. Verse 46 again, they loved greetings in marketplaces. They loved to be called rabbi. They loved to be called teacher. They loved the titles. They love the best seats in the synagogues and feasts, verse 46 says. What was Jesus' advice about this? Take the lowest seat, Jesus said. The scribes also, in verse 47, devour widows' houses. It's not explained exactly how they did this. Perhaps they worked their way into being managers of their property and stole money from them, or asked for more payment than was their due, or took advantage of their generosity and encouraged more generosity than they should have given. In contrast, James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1:27. They took advantage of probably the most vulnerable people in that culture. Those were the scribes. Verse 47 again, for a pretense, for show, for appearance's sake, make long prayers. Now, can you imagine? Can you imagine what a travesty this is? In public places, on street corners, in temple courts, they would go on and on and on with their prayers to appear to be deeply religious people. I had a friend in seminary who was a could be a burr under the saddle in a good way, it turns out, who talked to me about, now Dan, in your public prayers, don't make up for the lack of your private prayers. Are these long prayers in public because we don't pray in private, we ministers and those who pray in public? For a pretense, make long prayers. In general, you can see that the scribes had a condescending attitude toward other people. They looked down on others. They thought they were better than other people. Thought themselves to be superior. Love of neighbor had not come into their hearts. Looking out for the interests of others, no. In contrast to that, here's the Lord Jesus Christ who came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life a ransom for many. While they were seeking their own, the Lord Jesus Christ was giving up himself. And when he saves us, he gives us his Spirit who enables us, who gives us the power to live unselfishly, unlike the scribes. So Philippians 2, 3, and 4 mentions this. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others like himself. No, better than himself. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. And that passage is right before Paul goes on to say, the Lord Jesus humbled himself and made himself obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. What a contrast between the scribes and the Lord Jesus. So some of the scribes were hypocrites. They pretended to be what they were not. When I was a boy, I lived beside a family with two boys. And I had two sisters. So I was glad that my neighbor had two boys. Sometimes we would play together, and my neighbor boys had a sitter because both parents worked. And so the sitter would come during the days after the mom and dad had gone to work. And sometimes the boys would invite me over to play with them and the sitter. And she was really good to us and enjoyed playing with us. And sometimes we'd play school. It was much more fun to play school than it was to go to school. So, in my mind. So we'd play school, and the sitter would be the teacher, and the three of us boys would be the pupils. So we would sit down in her classroom, and we knew that we could pretend to disobey, and there would be no real consequences. Now think back. When I was in school, there were real consequences when people misbehaved, and teachers had a wooden utensil called a paddle, which they used. And that was so much fun to pretend to be mean, and then, actually we didn't have to pretend, but at this point we were pretending, and there were no consequences. We were pretending, these scribes were pretending, but they were seriously pretending. They were seriously misleading people by their pretensions. They were play acting. They were mask wearing, not like COVID-19 mask wearing. They were putting on a face and pretending to be something they were not. And 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16, 7. The scribes would not admit who they are, who they were. Will you? Will you and I admit that we are but sinners before God? Are we pretending we are not? Have we had a change of heart? Has the heart of stone been replaced by a heart of flesh? Have we been changed by God the Holy Spirit and born anew? Have we become new creatures in Christ Jesus? Or are we still the same old unrepentant sinners? Well, we're sinners We're not perfect. We are, as the road signs we saw coming over to Winston-Salem today said, we are under construction. We are on the way. We're not there yet. We've been saved as Christians, but we should know who we are. We've been saved, but we haven't reached our final destination. We have not reached perfection. That's pretty obvious. But the Holy Spirit is working in us to produce sanctification. So Romans 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, Romans 6, verse 6. This is something that's happened. It's history. Our old self was crucified with Christ on the cross. And we experienced that after we were regenerated and we became conscious of it in our minds and professed faith in Jesus Christ and repented of our sins. That is a historic event. And we, if you know the time of your regeneration, let me know, because I don't think you do. But you do know about when you started to believe in Jesus and when you started to repent of your sins. You do know that approximately. It happened. It can't be undone. It's like the event we now call 9/11. We know it happened. And in a few couple of weeks, it'll come up again. We'll hear it on the radio and TV all day long. And we won't doubt it. Not one of us will say, I don't believe that happened. Because we know it happened. And this happened. The old self was crucified with him. Why? That we should no longer be the servants of sin. We died to sin. There was a spiritual funeral. We died to sin. The old self died. And so Romans 8, 12 through 14 tells us more. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Romans 8, 12 through 14. We are debtors to put to death our sins by the Holy Spirit. We owe it to God, now that the old self has been crucified with Jesus, now that Jesus lives in us by the Spirit, we owe it to God to put to death our sins. Are you led by the Spirit? You've heard other Christians say, the Spirit led me to do this. The Spirit led me to do that. Isn't it true that many times it's extra-scriptural? Didn't come out of Scripture? The Spirit led me to do this and that. Romans 8, 12 through 14. Being led of the Spirit is being led to put to death your sins, because you, your old self, was crucified with Christ. And now you have a new self, and now you have a new heart, and now you have the Holy Spirit within you to empower you to resist temptation. He strengthens us to do that. Second point, the character of the scribes which was evil, pointing us to the Spirit of God, who leads us to do that which is pleasing to God. Now, thirdly, what will the scribes receive? They will receive the greater condemnation. In verse 47, at the last sentence of the passage, these will receive greater condemnation. Jesus Christ will return to earth. There will be a final judgment. Every single human being who has ever lived will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. And some will be sent to hell because they disobeyed God throughout their whole lives. They never repented. They never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some will remain with the Lord forever and ever in bliss in the new heavens and the new earth, who have trusted Jesus, whose lives have been changed by the Holy Spirit, who have repented of their sins. Every single human being will go to either heaven or hell, will be with the Lord forever, or will be punished forever. But the emphasis in our text is those who are sent to hell, and some will receive the greater condemnation because they have deliberately deceived people. There are sins that are greater sins than other sins. And these sins will receive a greater punishment than other sins. All people have sinned, and God would do nothing wrong if He sent everyone to hell. He owes salvation to no one. God, if He saves anyone, He saves them by His sovereign grace alone. None of us deserve salvation. And so when we say God ought to save this person, watch out. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. God owes us nothing. Everything He gives us is by His own favor and goodness and kindness. I know this sounds cruel to some, but this is the teaching of Scripture. These will receive the greater condemnation. They were in positions of authority. They were in positions of influence. A lot of people listened to them and followed them. And those in high position today, beware. Look who's talking, a pastor. Let not many of you be teachers. You're more responsible, I realize. Even the leaders, even those who are in responsible positions in civil society and in church, should be rebuked for their rebukable sins, as Jesus rebuked the scribes. So Jesus says, beware of the scribes, beware of their sins, beware of the sins that other people commit. See them, turn from them, try to help that person turn from them himself. Be aware of sin in yourself. Judge yourselves harsher than you judge others. But don't stop there. Do something positive. As the Spirit leads you, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, salvation, and for help in resisting temptation and obeying His holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your holy word. We thank You for the serious warnings You give to us, the serious warnings that Jesus gave to the people of His own day. Help us, Lord, to take these to heart. Help us to be grateful that those of us who are Christians have had our old self crucified. Help us to be grateful for the Holy Spirit Lord, by him, let us more perfectly obey you and follow you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.